Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you here again on the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Glad to be with you this Friday morning or Saturday evening or Sunday morning, depending on when you're listening to the broadcast. Oh, man, it's so great to be in summer, isn't it? Oh, my goodness, it's so great. So, and kids especially, we're going to focus on you for a moment, you know, during this summer holiday here and during this hour here, we're going to focus on one of your very favorite topics. We're going to talk about school. That's right. We're going to talk about school. Gail Dorn is with us again to talk about CSCO, the Catholic Center of Excellence. She's going to join us in here in just a moment to talk about that. Just the importance of Catholic education. You know, the more I reflect upon it, we've got a number of issues arising in our society and really coming to a head in terms of individual liberties and I would almost say a prison of autonomy, saying that we are driven by our desires, and because we as a society are so into self-identification, and the only power that really matters is what I think and what I believe about myself. And there's a whole philosophical background that has led us into this, but I think, again, one of the great remedies of all these things is an ordered life, and a life that's specifically ordered towards the Creator, towards God, who made us the way we are and intends for us to achieve that which is our greatest happiness, to quote Blessed John Henry Newman there as well. Intends for us to reach that happiness both as individuals, as communities, as families, and also as a society. And I think our Catholic schools particularly are particularly well-armed, if you will, in this battle to really bring people to that understanding of what that is, and then to live out that well-ordered life in a society that I'm convinced is getting closer and closer to the chaos of individual autonomy. Before we get to Gail, though, I wanted to ask you, did you put together a summer reading list? I think summer for a lot of people is a time when they think, all right, I'm going to have some time, whether that's time up at the lake or time in the parks or time even just at home, maybe out on the back porch or the back deck. And I'm just going to take some time to enjoy the beautiful weather, and I'm going to get some reading done. Now, if you're like me, your summer reading list probably has some, shall we say, recreational titles in it, things that are a little bit more of maybe mind candy. But I would encourage you as well to include some books that are more particularly spiritually edifying, that lead you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And the Office of Evangelization, if I may, has produced a list with some titles on it that would help you make some selections as to what books might be on that list, on that summer reading list, for your own edification. Just give you a couple of examples. Into Your Hands, Father, Abandoning Ourselves to the God Who Loves Us, by Wilfred Strussen. So that's one of them. Fire and Light, Learning to Receive the Gift of God, by Father Jacques Philippe. And if you've never read Jacques Philippe before, you have to read some Jacques Philippe. I'm just telling you right now, that's the way it has to be. So pick up one of those. Also, Archbishop Chaput's Strangers in a Strange Land. This is kind of along what I was just talking about. It's subtitled Living the Catholic Faith in a Post-Christian World. And I think increasingly a lot of authors are beginning to understand what I was talking about, that we are in a time of crisis. We are in a post-Christian world. My wife and I know have been reading some of Rod Dreher's The Benedict Option. I don't know if you heard about that. But another one that would purport the same thing, Sherry Waddell's Forming Intentional Disciples, also the chapter one of that book kind of outlines how the Church herself is in a sort of crisis that is the society is really buffering and battling up against her. So we are also going to talk a little bit later in the show with another Catholic author who's seeking to combat this, specifically for women. We're going to be talking with Elizabeth Kelly. She teaches in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. And she has written a brand new book that's coming out in September, so I guess it won't make the summer reading list, But it's called Jesus Approaches, What Today's Woman Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what we need to be moving into and towards, is that these are times when we need to refer to those tried and true ways, most specifically the way that God reveals himself to us through divine revelation of sacred scripture and sacred tradition. But we also need to understand more fully how we can not just learn these things, but also apply them to our lives and live them out. So that's what's in store for us. We're going to talk about school, as I said, and then we're going to talk with Elizabeth Kelly a little bit more about her new book and what she sees as what she hopes the fruits of that book will be. So I hope that's enticed you a bit to stay with us. But before we go to our first break, let's take a moment and let's pause, as we always do, and commit the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be back right after this with Gail Dorn of the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. Stay with us. I promise, kids, it won't be too overbearing. Rediscover.
Are you faced with the decision of finding the best preschool and childcare for your child? Faithful Beginnings at St. Peter in North St. Paul, a preschool you can trust for tender care and rich possibilities. Our days are filled with learning and inquiry, curiosity and wonder, joy and friendship.
I love St. Peter Preschool.
Looking for the best in preschool? Faithful Beginnings at St. Peter in North St. Paul is led by experienced, dedicated, and nurturing staff. We understand every child is a precious gift from God, and we strive to create an early educational experience that honors the beauty of children and their childhood while working in partnership with the families we serve. Early childhood best practices is our foundation. Preschool is an exciting time. Check us out on the web and then call us for a tour. See the smiles, hear the giggles, feel the love and energy firsthand. We are the beginning you can trust growing learners and leaders.
Come see us soon.
We have a space for your child. Faithful Beginnings at St. Peter in North St. Paul.
You are stillness. You are quiet. You are comfort and peace.
That's a great reminder. Yes, God is indeed stillness and comfort and peace. I hope that during this time, this summertime, when you've got some time maybe to kick back and read, that you can also take some time in stillness to reconnect with the Lord after what may have proven to be a very busy program year or school year for you. And speaking of schools, joining me now again here on the show, she's been our guest before, is Gail Dorn, who's the president of Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, which is a nonprofit organization with a simple two-part mission. First, to help Catholic elementary schools achieve and maintain excellence while increasing student enrollment, achieve and maintain. And those are the two-part mission, yes. So, Gail, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Patrick.
Yeah, well, so give me some idea of, do you work in the summer, Gail?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Yes, you know, we have 79 beautiful Catholic school principals who are hard at work, and I have the great delight of working with all of them. Summer is a very busy time. It's a time for planning. It's a time for replenishment and investment in the coming school year. So we have a lot going on. It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you were in the studio here for my opening little monologue there about how Catholic schools are uniquely positioned, I think, to combat some of the societal, social things that we see going on around us. Would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Catholic schools, what they do cannot be found anyplace else. Mm. I tell our Catholic school leaders that what they do in their buildings cannot be found down the road at our competitors. We are unique in that we address the whole child, body, mind, and soul. Mm-hmm. And yes, we seek academic excellence, but we seek spiritual excellence.
Right.
And our organization also wants more souls for Christ. So we want to see those Catholic schools grow and thrive.
Right, right. And I know that recently you've been down at some, or out, I should say, at some rural schools around the area, too. What's your impression of rural Catholic schools these days?
First of all, they are a beautiful fabric of the rural community. Very, very important. Many of them with very long histories. Immigrant families built these schools, and it's a beautiful thing. It is not unusual for me to go into a rural school and meet a fifth generation student.
Wow, fifth generation.
It really is something. We have beautiful rural schools. They also are thriving and seeking excellence. Sometimes it looks very different in that students travel from long distances to get to rural schools, but they are a beacon in the community, and it's a beautiful thing. Some of them traditionally have been very small.
Yeah.
Others have grown along with their communities. I was recently in Belle Plaine, Minnesota, and they're looking at their demographics. That community has grown almost 50%, almost double in the last 10 years. So these schools change along with their communities, and it's just a great pleasure to be able to walk in the door and see beautiful Catholic education being executed. Children start out every day with prayer. They attend Mass. Mm-hmm. They are valued as children of God, whole children of God. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. I have a special place in my heart for our rural schools. I think they are very important for this country.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And I'm glad to hear you talking about them thriving. My wife is from a small Catholic town in central Wisconsin, and they have a Catholic school there that it seems like is just kind of hanging on by the skin of their teeth, as they say. And that, in some ways, that hurts my heart, if it will, because when we see that, when we see that Catholic schools in rural environments are struggling, it's hard. There's a temptation to begin despairing about, well, where are these kids gonna learn that rightly ordered life that I was talking about? So I'm very glad to hear about them thriving.
It is. It is true. And we have occasional schools who face challenges, as all of our schools do. Many times it's really an economic challenge, how to invest in the school itself. Many of these are old buildings, so they require investment of physical capital. But also young families who may have several children who make an economic sacrifice to send their kids to these schools. So there's always great needs.
Right.
And our organization is just happy to be a part of that solution and be able to work with schools.
Right. And that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about, just in case there are those who didn't catch your last time with us. Can you just give us a little bit of an overview about what Cisco is and does?
Yes. Well, first of all, yes, we affectionately refer to ourselves as Cisco. It's a lot easier than the Catholic School Center of Excellence.
Right.
But we, first and foremost, we believe our schools are excellent, both spiritually and academic. We believe in Catholic education, not just for this generation, but for future generations. We think it is important for our church and future leadership of our church, but also for the country. Mm-hmm. Our schools create critical thinkers with mature moral values, and that is needed desperately by our society. Our organization was built with just two simple goals, and I tell our staff, our talented staff at Cisco, if you're not doing these two things, please stop doing them. We only seek to increase excellence, both spiritually and academically in our schools, and we want to increase enrollment. So it's excellence and it's enrollment. And we work at the request of each school, so we are invited in. We work with them on their specific plans. So I jokingly say, if you've been to one Catholic school, you've been to one Catholic school.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we really respect the autonomy of each school. I think they are beautifully local in nature, as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have enjoyed great success in being able to help our schools achieve excellence, continue to achieve excellence, and to grow.
Yeah. Well, that's very straightforward, but it's also very, very important work, obviously, to enable. Sometimes just working in an organization or an institution for a long time, even if you're brand new, you inherit a lot of things. And it's just nice to get somebody from an outside perspective to come in and give you, especially a well-educated outside perspective to come in and give you a sense of, well, here's some suggestions about how you can improve upon these things. And that, as I'm understanding it, is what Cisco actually does.
We do, and we share success.
Yeah.
Actually, when we first started working with schools, we discovered that there were a lot of great ideas, but there was no way at that point for one school on one side of town to share a success with another school on the other side of town.
Right, right.
So we were able to be that link and also create a sense of common mission. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we created something we call the Principal Hub. It's just a web platform where principals can post ideas, ask questions, interact with one another, really get them connected, because mm-hmm. we all are on the same mission together. And it's been a beautiful thing to be able to see that team work together.
Yeah, I can absolutely imagine that. So just, we want to talk a little bit about specifically one school in particular, the Community of Saints Regional School. Now, it's St. Michael's, the Associated Parish down in West St. Paul, sadly closed down. But the school, as I understand it, is still open. Is that correct?
It is absolutely open, and it is thriving. And Bridget Kramer, who is our wonderful school leader, does a terrific job. So they are growing in enrollment, and I'm happy to say open for business, and I hope for many decades to come.
That's right. Well, very good, very good. We want to make sure about that. And just wondering, are there other schools like that are here in our diocese that some may think are closed, or some may be, well, is that school really going to make it, or something like that, because of the parish closing its doors, or because the parish maybe enrollment is dropping or something like that, but are still actively running?
You know, we have a long history in this archdiocese of unfortunately declining enrollment. In over the last decade, we've lost about 10,000 children in
right.
our Catholic school system. Therefore, there were a lot of adjustments and consolidations of some schools in some parishes. So I just encourage people to do the research. There are 79 beautiful pre-K through 8 Catholic schools in this archdiocese.
Wow.
And they are terrific. And so I just encourage people, go online and do some research, because our schools are getting stronger. We, for the first time last year in almost 4 decades, we did not lose children. We actually gained a few.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was historic for us, and we feel so optimistic about the future. So we want to encourage people, check out their local Catholic school, and you'll be surprised.
Amen. I'm right on board with you there. And I think I can appreciate that choosing a school for your children is, there's many factors that are involved. There's not just one. Hopefully, there's not just one aspect of it. I know that when we start speaking about private education, parochial education, a lot of us start thinking about cost. But there's so many things about what you can, that you should be considering about what can be accomplished in and through the right education for your children. That, if I may add, is not particularly about them learning how to do the right things so that they can get into college, so that they can get a high-paying job when they get out of college. I mean, in my mindset, a whole philosophy of education needs to go in and behind that. So it's not simply about, getting, financial stability for the future. Not that that's not to be considered. But at the same time, education gives us, as I was saying before, this kind of, it instills within us those values that you talked about, that help us to live out a well-ordered and flourishing life in the midst of whatever the world may seek to throw at us. Is that something you'd agree with?
I totally agree. We tell parents, this is worth the investment.
Amen.
This is very, very important. You are not just investing in their minds, but in their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great thing that Catholic education is able to do. We teach children how to walk with Christ every day, to live Christ-centered lives. And we offer all of the investments that will allow each child to thrive.
Mm.
They are children of God. They are all unique. But it isn't just academic outcomes that we're after.
Right.
So we look to develop virtues. We look to keep them connected to their faith. We've talked about this before, Patrick. There's been a lot of studies recently, but vocations. are much higher coming from people who have gone through the Catholic school system. So again, I think it is very important for our country what we do, but very, very important for our church.
Right. So maybe, I don't know how much you can speak to this, and I'm not asking you to incriminate anybody here, but I'm just curious too. One of the things that I'd be considering if I was thinking about sending my child to a Catholic school would be, okay, well, really, what level of spiritual maturity are they actually going to find there? You know, or is it just going to basically be, because you hear this accusation thrown around a lot that Catholic schools could be, it's basically a public school and then once a week they have mass, you know, that sort of thing. But I can't believe that that's actually the case in most cases, isn't that?
I would dispel that myth.
Okay, please do.
I do think that there is some credible challenges across the country over the decades, especially as we were losing enrollment, where there were some missteps and perhaps even some lost, got off the track of Catholic education, trying to figure out how to manage that enrollment decline. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say to you, thanks to the good work of Jason Slattery, mm-hmm. and the Office of Mission of Catholic Education, which Cisco partners with greatly, the 79 pre-K through 8th grade schools are very committed to passing on the faith and to instilling Catholic values and a Catholic worldview in all that they do.
Right.
So I encourage people, every school is different. They're different in size. They're different in charism. They're different in even who they serve. And some, we have urban schools, suburban schools, rural schools. So I like to think that there is one out there for every child,
right.
and that it is the parents' duty to do that research, visit the schools, and make sure it's a good fit for you.
Yeah, and since you bring the parents into it too, I think I can safely assume that those Catholic schools that are really striving for excellence in both academic and spiritual excellence, that they are, they're not basically usurping the parents' role over their kids as the leaders of the domestic church, you know, the household, but rather they're coming alongside and they're providing those some things that the child may not be able to encounter and experience within the home. Is that right?
Absolutely. That is the great thing about Catholic education. There really is a team approach. And our beautiful religion honors the mother and the father as the first and most important teacher.
Right.
I am a Catholic school parent. I have experienced that. Parents are welcomed in our schools. In fact, it's desired that parents are part of the school community as well as the parish community. It's all connected. And it's a beautiful thing when everyone is on the same page.
Right.
We're all focused on the same thing. And that is, I think, in essence, the greatness of a Catholic education.
Amen to that. So just to reiterate one more time that the Community of Saints Regional School that was associated with St. Michael's in West St. Paul, that St. Michael's, although they have closed their doors, the school itself, Community of Saints Regional School, is still open, as well as 79 Catholic schools here in the Archdiocese. That's K through 8 or pre-K through 8, you said. Can people go to any particular, or where should they go if they want to research individual schools? Is there, does Cisco have its own website and everything?
Cisco has its own website, cisco-mn.org.
And that's cscoe-mn.org.
Okay. That's right. You can click on find a school, and mm-hmm. that will bring you to directory, and all of the websites are there. We also have several new websites, findcatholicschools.org and faithful-beginnings.org. Faithful Beginnings is our pre-K preschool initiative.
Okay.
Both of those websites, if you just Google Catholic schools, they should pop up. And you can do a directory right on there. Put in your zip code and we'll tell you which schools are closest to you.
Wow, I love it. Gail Dorn, president of the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, thank you so much for joining us again here on the Rediscover Hour.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, so kids, I hope that wasn't too painful. Parents, hopefully now you are considering, if you're not already, to send your child or children to a Catholic school. We'll come back and talk with Liz Kelly. Stay with us.
This commercial contains sounds that may scare many people. That sound, that is a computer. The computer you just heard is behaving. These days, many computers don't behave. They get infected, hacked, taken over, or just become stuffed with operating information and become slow. or worse. If your computer, laptop, tablet, or almost any device isn't behaving, call Computer Docs. Their local experts can usually repair, restore, and rehabilitate the worst computer issues. Computer Docs has been helping save computers for more than a decade, and they do it fast and affordably. Get your electronics singing again by calling Computer Docs, 763-425-0275. You'll get help fast from a Relevant Radio sponsor you can trust. Computer Docs, 763-425-0275.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Boley, our producer, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer. We are glad to be bringing this Rediscover Hour to you. We had just been talking with Gail Dorn about schools and Catholic schools and the excellence of that. Now we are going to shift gears a little bit. There's also a way that we can achieve some spiritual excellence in our summer by talking with Elizabeth Kelly. And Liz, as you go by, as I understand it.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. Well, I have quite a biography of you here. Award-winning speaker and author of 6 books. Oftentimes, your writings are found in Magnificat's Lenten and Advent Companions. You've written for the Catholic Spirit. Mm-hmm. You are a certified spiritual director, and you lead retreats, specifically with the Ignatian exercises. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You've appeared on public radio, Boston Catholic Television, EW2N, and Salt and Light Television. And you're currently, or presently, the managing editor of Logos, mm-hmm. a journal of Catholic thought and culture at the University of St. Thomas, where you also teach as a Catholic studies program.
Yes.
Well, first of all, Liz, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. great. It's great for you to be here. And my second question is, so what do you do in all your spare time?
I pray a lot for strength and grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you been without sleep now? I kind of want to know that, too. Wow.
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm part nocturnal. I do a lot of work at night, so
yes.
It works out.
That's probably a good thing. Now, yeah. Liz, we're really pleased to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And we do want to talk about your new and upcoming book, which mm-hmm. we'll get to in just a moment. But first of all, I don't remember. Are you native to the Twin Cities area here?
I was born in Minnesota. I was born at St. Joe's, actually. And then when I was about 5, my parents moved to rural Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
And so I graduated high school from Cathedral in New Ulm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are you a Catholic school product yourself then?
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
All right. Well, that's a good tie-in with
yeah.
the previous segment.
Oh,
very
absolutely.
Good. Yeah. And when you said you were born at St. Joe's, I assume you mean the hospital, not the parish.
Yeah. Correct. Thank you.
Well, you never know, you know, in the middle
thank
of adoration.
You for clarifying.
Oh, there's
yeah.
a contraction. Okay.
That would be just like my mom, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so you grew up in the faith.
I did.
Obviously, in the Catholic faith.
I did.
All right. So, as you may remember, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith and mm-hmm. from evangelical Protestantism. And, mm-hmm. you know, we love our scriptures there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask the question, how did you get interested in studying sacred scripture as a Catholic? I mean,
well,
what drew you to the Bible?
It's very interesting because I did leave the church, not officially, but I did start attending Protestant churches for quite a number of years in
okay.
my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And the first church that I really committed to was a Bible church.
Yeah.
And you walked in, you cracked open Matthew, and we spent 2 years chipping through. It was like a 45-minute lesson every weekend. It was Sunday school.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm kind of an egghead. I love to study. I love to read. And this particular pastor, I think, really had an anointing for bringing the scripture alive, making it living and active. But it was interesting because I missed the sacraments, of course. I wouldn't yep. have been able to articulate it, but I missed the Blessed Sacrament. And I think that you could equate the experience to when I went in the middle of the night to the Adoration Chapel and sat before the Blessed Sacrament. That was not just some dry bit of bread.
Right.
It was living, active. The Lord, He desired my company. He was there. We were talking and communing, and there was stuff going on, living, active presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, I think a lot of Catholics have the same kind of, if a Protestant walked in to the Blessed Sacrament, they might be like, oh, that's kind of a nice symbol. Mm-hmm. And I think some Catholics have a similar response to Scripture in that it's not living, it's not active. They don't have the fullness of the way in which God desires to reveal himself and to reveal us in relationship to him through the living Word of God. And so that was a piece I had been missing. You know, I'm of a certain age and of a certain kind of catechized era, mm-hmm. or not so catechized era. And I think a lot of Catholics kind of in my realm are sort of like, well, I have the sacraments. I have the sacraments and that's enough. And I don't need the living word. And when women come in for spiritual direction or companioning, as my program like to refer to it, I'm struck at the number who do not have a regular engagement with the living word of mm-hmm, God, mm-hmm. and they long for it. Mm-hmm. They just so desire it. And I get it, because I did too.
Yeah.
And so hopefully the book is addressing that wound, that gap a little bit for those who do not have as living and active an experience of the Holy Scripture.
Right. I love the way in thinking about it that way, because coming out and 7 years ago, coming out of the evangelical Protestant world and into the Catholic world, since then, a lot of my conversations have been with my friends who are still evangelical Protestants. Mm-hmm. And I like to use the road to Emmaus as talking about that, where they totally get the walking with the Lord and him opening the scriptures to them and explaining, mm-hmm. beginning with Moses and all the prophets, about how it was necessary that the Messiah should suffer and mm-hmm. so enter into his glory, and how their hearts were burning within them. They get that. They are so into that.
Yeah.
And then I simply want to take them into the room, Emmaus, into the supper, exactly.
Right.
That it was in the breaking of the bread that mm-hmm. their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful picture of the Mass as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. What I haven't really considered as much is something that you were just talking about, is that perhaps Catholics are all the time in the room and mm-hmm. they don't desire to do the walking
piece.
Yeah, the walking piece.
I'll tell you, I think there are a couple of, at least, habits that I have noticed in discussing this and working on the book, is that it's work.
Mm.
It's work. I think Catholics, we get fasting, don't have a problem with that. We get, you know, tithing, helping the poor. But in terms of studying and encountering the scripture, there's like a gap. There's almost a pause on our part, a kind of hesitation to enter into it. And there's a whole long history about why that might be, and I'm sure you know it better than most. Evangelical background, there's just kind of an imbalance in terms of the word as it creates liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mass as perfect worship is not meant to do what Sunday school does. They're two different things.
Yeah.
Both necessary.
Yeah.
And I think for ways that make a lot of sense, we've just kind of fallen down a little bit on the study part. And, you know, women come in and I give them these assignments with scripture and it's like, this is really hard. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah,
it
right.
is. It's really hard. But, you know, stick with it, because often there are moments of growth. Like at the 3-month period, you take a leap forward. And then at the 9-month period, it's like learning a language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're immersed in Italy and only hearing Italian, you know, you're going to have these steps, these leaps forward and understanding. And it's the same thing in studying scripture and in praying scripture. And I would also just add, I put on the cover of Logos 1 year. We had an article, the lead article was about the difficulty of studying scripture and how this is a long and exacting work and Catholics have to do it.
Yeah.
And I put a picture of a rabbi, long in beard, and he's sort of slumped on his arm and he's got the holy books in front of him and his face is strained. And he's been at this a long time. You know, he's an old guy and it still is work. It still takes a kind of effort to get engaged. So I think sometimes we get a little bit intellectually lazy and maybe just a little bit too easily put off by just the work that is studying scripture.
Right. So I might imagine that either some of our listeners right now, or perhaps they know somebody who's been a longtime member of the Catholic faith, but mm-hmm. is really, maybe they're adults now, and mm-hmm. maybe they're feeling a little embarrassed that they don't know the Bible any better than they mm-hmm. that they do. So mm-hmm. any suggestions as to, I mean, where should they start?
Well, they can come to my study.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that. I was hoping that would set it up well, but...
No start is too small. You know, we do not need to despise small beginnings. We do not need to despise our own poverty in our knowledge. That is, we can give our hearts in our poverty in this area to the Lord. And I think that's a very pleasing gift to him, anything that we give out of our poverty. And he can make up for lost time. And I can see events in my own life where I had these sort of miraculous leaps forward in understanding that was just, you know, not so much as like an infusion of knowledge. But, you know, I can see the Lord seeing my desire and longing to bridge the gap because I'm better ordered than I was in my 20s or my 30s or whatever. So you don't have to be worried about not knowing. And the other thing I would say is, too, that when you sit down to read the scripture, you are encountering a living, active entity. You're not sitting in front of dead old pages, and that the Lord wants to meet you in that. He wants to reveal himself to you through the word, and you can be very confident of that this is a skill that he wants to fan the flame of.
Yeah, no doubt. And I might also just throw in there, too, one of the things that have been really helpful actually in becoming Catholic, because I spent a good deal of time in the Word prior to that, but in becoming Catholic, this whole practice of Lectio Divina has been really helpful to me about the meditative and even contemplative interaction with just small chunks of Scripture at a time. I do think that it helps us to actually get a sense of the overarching scope of the Scriptures and particular books of the Bible, but also just to take little pieces and slowly digesting them.
Sure.
So it's a difference between being at a buffet and being at a fine dinner where you're receiving a very small but very good portion.
How do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time. You know, you just and this is the ultimately filling feast. So, you know, one or two phrases is plenty. And you don't have to become, you know, you may not ever have that sense of like, okay, Matthew chapter 5 starts with the Beatitudes, then it goes into salt and light. And, you know, I mean, you might not ever have that kind of dynamic recall. And by the way, that's probably the only chapter I can tell you out of the Bible off the top of my head without looking. You know, I've never sort of acquired that kind of dazzling recall. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. It stays with me in other ways. And so sometimes I think we feel a little intimidated, especially by the Bible churches that can recall. John 14:23 talks about the promises of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but they don't need to do that because our Lord himself said, he simply said, it is written.
Yeah.
And of course, there weren't chapters and verses in his day. So, but he didn't.
Good
he
point.
Was. Yeah. Okay. So that's all you
Good
need to
point.
Do.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this new book that you've got coming out. Well, it's written specifically, as I understand it, for women and to aid in their study. Again, the title of the book is Jesus Approaches, What Today's Woman Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament.
Yes.
So where did the idea for this book come from?
I think it's probably been 25 years in coming, probably. It's sort of a result of my own falling in love with Scripture, my own understanding of the liturgical cycles, various assignments that I had gotten in writing to pray and meditate with the daily cycle of the Scripture, then doing the spiritual exercises. I did the 19th annotation where you're meditating with Scripture every day for, you know, almost a year. And I went to the Holy Land. They call it the Fifth Gospel. I know why now, I felt like I sort of finished the exercises there. So in some ways it grows out of my own love story maybe with the Scripture. But I would say there's one moment when I was in my 20s and I went to a Steubenville conference and I was coming back to the faith. And Kimberly Hahn gave one of the workshops, and it was on, I think, Catholic education or something. I'll never forget this. I owe her so much for this. But she started her whole workshop, and of course people are there like, Kimberly, we worship you. You're so wonderful. You and Scott. You know, they just, people had great admiration for them, and with good reason, for all that they were doing for the church, especially those who were entering the church later in life. But the first thing she did is she turned to the audience and she said, okay, who's working on a book on this? Who's doing the work?
You're kidding me. Wow.
And the room fell silent. And I thought, oh boy, she nailed it. And in that moment, I felt such conviction. It's like, I have to do the work.
Wow.
I need to hand my charisms back to the Lord and say, you put me to work, you give me the assignments, and boy, he will. You know, if you do that, he will. And so in some ways, the book goes all the way back to that little crumb when she said, who's doing the work? And at some point in my life, I wanted to say, I'm doing the work. So it really has a lot to do with that. But then also just, again, just growing up out of that sense of wanting to bridge that gap and heal that wound that some of us carry in relationship to Scripture.
Now, the book is being published by Loyola Press, and it's due out in September. Is that right? Okay, so not only is it available for reading in September, but there's also the Office of Evangelization is helping to sponsor a couple of scripture studies that go along that come right out of the book.
Right.
Is it my understanding? Yeah.
Right.
So one of them, actually both of them are going to be September 19th through November 14th. One's going to be on Tuesday mornings. That's 10:30 a.m. to noon. And that's going to be at St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in Wayzata.
And that one has childcare. Important to
note. Oh, yes. Very important to note. There is childcare available for the Tuesday morning session, 10:30 to noon at St. Bartholomew. Again, September 19th through November 14th. And then Tuesday evenings, those same Tuesday evenings, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Peter Catholic Church in Mendota. That's going to be the other one that's going on. So what if a woman got involved with one of these studies, what can she expect? What's she going to encounter?
Right. The basic structure will be about a 30 or 40 minute lesson that I will give, and then we'll break into small groups where I have extraordinarily holy, wonderful women who will work as facilitators for the small groups. Every chapter has an assignment in prayer and questions for discussion. So in the small group, you'll be able to talk about your prayer experience, what's working, what's not, and then also about the study questions. Then we'll come back together at the end of the evening, and I'll have a short, like 5 to 8 minute testimony from one of the women in the study about what's happening for her as she encounters Scripture.
That's great. So this, it sounds to me like you're establishing patterns that save maybe personal teaching from you, but could be repeated through continued Scripture study.
Certainly. I certainly hope so. I mean, what I long to do is give women the chops to enter in with Scripture. This is just getting started. You can be skilled or not. You can have never cracked open your Bible. It doesn't matter. It will be a safe place for you to explore this.
Right. Now, you talked about those small groups that are going to be happening and having small group facilitators. We actually have with us also in studio, Kelsey Wanless. Am I saying that
name
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Wanless.
Yeah. Kelsey is going to be one of the facilitators there at St. Bartholomew's for this Tuesday morning studies. And having met you out in the green room out there, I can understand that you might be taking advantage of that childcare as well.
Yes.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about your background, Kelsey. I mean, are you also native to Minnesota?
I am native to Minnesota, actually this side of town.
Oh yeah?
The western suburbs. Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, spent my whole life here, went to college at St. Thomas, got my undergrad in Catholic studies. I just loved studying, so I started my master's in Catholic studies, and right when I finished that, got married and then moved actually to Ave Maria, Florida with my husband. He did his doctorate there in theology.
Wow,
and we actually
nice.
Just moved back here within the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you're still unpacking boxes.
We are still unpacking. Our trailer's not even here yet. We only got a little bit of our stuff right now.
I'm a slave driver.
I'm like,
you're going on the radio. Get over here.
Exactly. Yeah, Liz.
Twins, whatever. Yeah. Come on the radio.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you have your own set of Minnesota twins, is that
yeah.
right?
I do, yes. Yeah, 6 month, or actually now 7 month old twin girls. They were our St. Nicholas stocking stuffers.
Wow. So that's so great. Okay. Yeah. So, Kelsey, similar question that I asked Liz. I mean, are you looking forward to this? And how did you get interested in studying scripture?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this study. I mean, I know I'm a facilitator, but I'm looking forward to it just as much as a learner as I am a facilitator. Because I think when Liz talked about the wound that we can often feel at our lack of knowledge of scripture or knowing how to approach it or enter into it, especially once you get into your 20s where you think, you know, I've been practicing my faith all these years, like, you know, I should know these things. And it's almost an embarrassment when you think, you know, I don't know all of this, all these things that I should. And so I think in my own way, part of my desire to do this, to act as a facilitator, is in some ways to learn with these women and to provide, like, to help foster a safe space. I'm in a holy space for them to open up and really to just be there to listen, and to listen and learn with them. So I'm as much a recipient as I am a giver in this.
Oh, yeah. Me too, by the way.
Well, I think it's always important, excuse me, I think it's always important in going into these things that you have a sense of, oh, yeah, guess what? The Lord could speak to me in this as well.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you crack open the scriptures, right? Regardless of whether you're the teacher, the guru, or whether you're one of the people in the pews, as it were.
Right.
Yeah. So, and is it right that Liz pretty much just called you up and said, hey, I want you to go on the radio and to be one of these facilitators? And
we have a long relationship tapping on her talents.
Yeah. So most recently I called her a month and a half ago and said, Liz, you know, we're moving back to Minnesota. And she goes, oh, wonderful. I have things for you. I'm doing a scripture study on my book this fall. Would you be a facilitator? And we've known each other for a long time now. I did our first encounter was I took her Woman and Man class. I think it was as a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
And had a few other interactions after that. But it was when I started my master's, I had approached her about Logos at the recommendation of another professor, and she said, I want you. Like, I want you to be my editorial assistant for Logos while I was doing my master's. And as with basically everything she asked me to do, I think, I can't do that. Like, I don't know what you see in me. And yet everything she's asked me to do, there's some grace she must bestow with her prayers or presence,
right?
Because they all seem to work out well. So, I worked as an editorial assistant for her for Logos for a couple of years. And then when I got married and moved to Florida,
you did proofreading.
I proofread for her.
The journal and then also other...
Right.
Wow.
Theologians at Ave and other places. So,
yep.
Yeah. She's blossoming.
Yeah. So I did that. And then
now she's doing a little more writing.
Yeah.
Wow.
A little bit of writing. So
do you have that question that Kimberly Hahn asked coming up? Who's working on a book on this?
Right.
Right.
She's doing her research now.
Yeah. Well,
she's got 25 years. I took 25 years to do it.
Yeah.
So
now Liz, I'm gonna need it.
it sounds like Kelsey was one of these, you know, Jesus loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life type of thing. Is that about it? Do you have other people like this that you're...
I think I do. I think never having had my own children, I think there is a certain kind of space available to a single woman to see gifts in the next generation and to naturally desire to foster them. And I think, especially with Kelsey, just being so much about words and editing and writing and such a fine writer herself, that was part of how we just connected.
Right. So our time is running short, but I'm going to ask both of you the same question. Liz, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Why should a woman consider coming to this study in the fall?
Because the word is living and active, and the Lord wants to reveal himself to you personally. He wants to reveal himself, and he would like to reveal how much he loves you and the plans he has for you to flourish and to prosper. And if you are not sitting on this rung, if you're not leaning on this particular tool, this gift that we're given by God, and you would like to learn more about how to do that, this is the perfect place to start.
Wonderful. Kelsey, how about you?
I would say I got to read a couple chapters as a sample, and I think the thing that kept striking me was the mercy of our Lord. And we, you know, we just came out of this year of more mercy, and I think that even in just this little sampling, it was like these floodgates of mercy that, like, Jesus approaches through Liz's word, her words, that she, as she helps you to open up Scripture, which of course is just this font of mercy. And so if you're wanting to just be one of those recipients of mercy, those, you know, the wellspring, like receiving of his mercy, to just to come and receive. It's a place of receiving, and I'm sure of a lot of fellowship and new friendship.
Amen. Kelsey Wanless and Liz Kelly, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes. So again, that's a women's scripture study coming up this fall. And if you want more information, you can go to rediscover-faith.org and you can find out more about it there. If it's not posted yet, it will be soon. So take a look at that. All right, so we are going to take one final break, and then we're going to come back with other community events going on this summer to help you enrich your spiritual life. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services have scheduled a pre-planning seminar for this month. A pre-planning seminar will provide you with information and the time to ask questions and learn about all of your end-of-life options in a calm and rational atmosphere. Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services offers unequaled quality and value and has been a part of the Twin Cities community for 160 years. These pre-planning seminars come with free pre-planning. They can also visit you in your home for a private discussion. The number to call to attend or receive free pre-planning materials from Washburn McGreevy is 612-377-2203. You can trust your arrangements to their professionals dedicated to excellence in end-of-life arrangements. Start the pre-planning process this month or meet with a Washburn McGreevy representative with no obligation. Call 612-377-2203. The 16 Twin Cities locations of Washburn McGreevy present the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love. Pain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, and we have got some other summery community events coming up. And Paul,
well, for one thing, you can be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer 2017 Theology on Tap series to join in mixing good beer with better knowledge. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul this Wednesday, July 5th, to hear from Jen Messing of Into the Deep on love and the divine plan. Social hours from 6:30 to 7:30, and Jen begins at 7:30. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org.
Are you looking to rediscover your Catholic faith, or do you know someone who is thinking about becoming Catholic? Join the Cathedral of St. Paul for Introducing Catholicism. It's an informal introduction to the breadth and depth of the Catholic faith through Bishop Robert Barron's acclaimed Catholicism series. The series started Wednesday, June 21st. It runs through August 30th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Each week we'll view an episode featuring a different aspect of the Catholic faith and have a brief discussion afterwards. No registration or previous participation necessary. Just come. For more information, visit cathedralstpaul.org or call that guy over there, Patrick Conley, 651-357-1340.
That's the number. All are invited to attend the Lord Teach Me to Pray Facilitator Training Retreat on Saturday, July 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Sisters of St. Joseph Carondelet in St. Paul. Lord Teach Me to Pray is a three-part Ignatian prayer series approved by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Come and learn more about Ignatian prayer. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Facilitator Training or visit the events page on archspm.org.
Grandparents, come celebrate the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, Grandparents of Jesus, with Nativity of Our Lord's Grandparents Apostolate, Wednesday, July 26th, 8:45 to 10:30 a.m. in Steiner Hall. Daily Mass will be offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. All grandparents are invited to a time of enrichment, prayer, and fellowship, highlighted by the Reverend Father Alvaro Perez, who will present on Consoling His Heart, the spirituality of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Refreshments will be served. For more information, visit parish.nativity-mn.org.
Join local author and speaker Liz Kelly, who we just heard from, in an 8-week women's Bible study based on her new book, Jesus Approaches, What Today's Woman Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. Each session is on Tuesday, September 19th through November 14th, and includes a lecture and small group discussion. This study is offered at two locations, a morning study with limited childcare available at St. Bartholomew's in Wayzata from 10:30 a.m. to noon, and an evening Bible study at St. Peter's in Mendota from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org for more information.
And what's coming up next week?
Yeah, next week we're going to hear from Katie Bratland and Mike McNeil. Both serve with Special Followers of Christ. The mission of this ministry is to enable, enhance, and foster the education, spiritual, and social development of those persons with disabilities in our parish communities and to advocate on their behalf. Special Followers of Christ recognizes the human dignity and worth of every human being by providing adaptive sacramental preparation, faith formation, and social opportunities. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great time. Until then, folks, you know it. Go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.